Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. A local band hailing from Milwaukee's South Side is updating a classic style of rock and roll, surf music. The Rev-O-Matics have picked up where legendary rockers like Dick Dale left off with their debut album, We Come in Peace. We're hearing a track from it right now called KGB.
The Rev-O-Matics play a show to officially launch the new album this Friday evening at Lucky Joe's Tiki Room near the Third Ward. But ahead of that show, the band joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the performance studio for a conversation and an in-studio concert.
And that was the Rev-O-Matics playing their song KGB. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You are a local band out of the South Side of Milwaukee. How about you go around and introduce yourselves?
Jeff Schneider, I am on drums.
Pete Flessis, I'm the bass player.
Drew DeLudio, guitar.
Joe Weigel, guitar.
So how did the four of you form the band the Rev-O-Matics together?
Well, I'm the grandpa of the band, and I was in bands back in the 80s. I was in a punk rock band, early 80s. I played in a couple alternative rock bands. Decided to do something with my life. Went to law school. Didn't do anything during the 90s. Picked it back up again in the early 2000s. I had a good friend of mine. I was looking for a bass player for a project he had, Don Nelson from the Exotics. Said, hey, you want to play bass? And I'm like, well, I haven't played bass in about 15 years. Hooked up with Don, did that project for about a year. That ignited my interest again in live music and playing in a band. And I formed the Rev-O-Matics in around 2010 with Jeff, with two other guys. We've had a couple personnel changes, and along the way we added Drew and later on Joe. And here we are today.
Excellent. And how did you come to it, Drew? Were you seeked out, or did you hear the Rev-O-Matics play on their own and show your interest?
Yeah, I was doing the, you know, kind of the sort of typical Milwaukee, like, sort of covers, like festival circuit, weddings and things like that. And that was soulless. So I actually responded to an advertisement that these guys had put out for a guitar player. And yeah, I hadn't played surf music before, but it was really intriguing. Mm-hmm. And so I went and played with the band, and yeah, like lo and behold, that was, I think, like 2 years ago at this point. Yeah, so it was that easy.
And what other music genres were you all involved in before the surf or rock that influenced you?
Jeff, what did you do before?
I did pretty just about everything. I come from a classical background. I played with the Monadnock Falls Milwaukee Catholic Symphony for over 25 years. I've played jazz, I've played metal, progressive rock, so kind of a whole genre.
We're a very diverse group. Mm-hmm. You know, the four of us come from, I think, very different musical backgrounds. Me personally, I've played for a lot of singer-songwriters as a multi-instrumentalist. Before coming to this band, I really wasn't at all in tune with instrumental surf rock or, you know, anything close to it. Outside of Pete, you know, the rest of us really aren't steeped in that kind of idiom, so we bring very diverse genres into the band.
Exactly, and that probably influences your overall sound. So let's get down to why surf rock. And we are in Milwaukee, and I suppose you could say it's the Third Coast, kind of. You don't really see many surfboards on Lake Michigan, especially for the 1 month of summer that we have. Yeah. And
Pete had a cool quote about it that used to tell me.
It's a challenging genre of music because I always have other musicians come up to me and they'll say, how the heck do you guys play music without a singer? That must be really difficult. And actually, it kind of is, to be honest.
I think it forces us to be, you know, I guess to go back to the like the original question, we, you know, Pete always used to say that, you know, well, surf rock was the sort of punk of the 50s, you know, mm-hmm. that it was, you know, it was the music that kids who really gravitated towards the electric guitar started to play. I think that for people who are familiar with the genre, it's always been associated with a certain amount of rebellion. I like it for that too. And to build off of what Pete said, you know, as an instrumental band, we're pretty unique. And I think all of us would agree that the music that we write and play really challenges us.
Exactly. And that kind of led into my next question right away. It was why instrumental music? Because here you have a different dynamic, especially when appealing to your audiences. So what challenges does it present for, you know, playing song, writing songs, appealing to audiences?
Well, the singers suck. So.
No, I think. Yeah, so that part of the equation we don't have to deal with.
I think as a band, we put, you know, we put a big burden on Drew. You know, Drew is our lead guitar player. He's kind of our front man. And without a singer, Drew has to find that dialogue with the audience while we're performing without words. Mm-hmm. And it's a, I mean, it's a unique challenge for him as a player, and he steps up to the challenge, I think, very well. And the rest of us kind of rally around him. And then, of course, he's an extremely funny guy. So in between songs, you know, I think he sucks people in as well.
Which I wanted to tell a joke right now if I could. I think that we, you know, we've played together for a while now, and, you know, we work really hard as a group. And whenever we play live shows, it always fascinates me how many people will come up to us after shows and say, I didn't know what surf music was. I had no idea what surf music was. I love it. I love mm-hmm. what you guys do. It's awesome. And I think that's because without a singer, you know, it kind of forces us to, like Joe said, create this drama in our music. When you're in an instrumental band like ours, you know, our music has to tell the story. We don't have a storyteller up there narrating. Mm-hmm. And so I think that people gravitate towards that because there's something sort of universal, not to change subjects, but that's what we tried to do with this new record, you know, mm-hmm. more than anything else is to take the genre and say, yeah, you know, like surf music can be this complex, melodic, dramatic thing. It doesn't have to be this really one-dimensional, you know, sort of archaic, nostalgic genre that most people haven't really heard of anymore.
Exactly, because when most people think of surf music, like what came into my brain right away was 1950s, 60s surfer movies.
Totally.
You got the wide pan screenshot, and then you got the soundtrack in the background,
yeah,
or perhaps a race scene or something like that.
Yeah.
And leading into your new album, We Come in Peace, it also is kind of a play on the 1950s alien invasion classic posters, mm-hmm. that type of thing. What was the inspiration behind that?
You know, the thing we've always talked about is surf music never had a chance to evolve.
Yeah.
It started in the early 60s. You had, you know, Dick Dale. You had bands like The Ventures.
The Atlantics.
And these groups, they kind of stopped evolving after 64, 65. And a lot of these mm-hmm. groups became vocal bands.
Yeah.
And we kind of looked at it like, let's do surf music as if it continued. What did it become? What did it evolve into?
Yeah, it's almost like an imagination of what the future would have been like. It's an interesting genre because there are so many bands in the genre now that are throwbacks to the 50s and 60s. But then there's this handful of groups out there, both here in the United States and in Europe, that are exactly that, reimagining the genre, bringing in influences from other genres, and kind of, you know, making surf records that maybe would have existed in the 70s and 80s had the pop music culture not gone in a different direction.
And I think that whole We Come in Peace, that whole idea for the record, you know, it's not... You know, it's not camouflaged at all. It's a very thinly veiled.
Yes.
But, you know, like, it. I think we absolutely wanted to do something that harkened back to the sort of B science fiction movie, you know, kitschy culture of the late 50s and early 60s, you know, kind of like tipping our hats to that and saying, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, we get it. We know, you know, we have one foot sort of firmly planted in that. But then also say, you know, something a little deeper.
And I think our music accomplishes that.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, hopefully if people listen to the record, they'll kind of get that drift.
Absolutely. And I think also just in the imagery and even your band pictures, it's a nod to retro, but it's also showing we're taking this further. We're reimagining it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's give the listeners another song and another story. What will you be playing next?
This song's called Bikini Atoll. So anybody, so the quick history lesson here is that this was the island that the United States Navy tested an atomic bomb on just after World War II. So there was a reason why we sort of chose that as a title of this tune. But you can probably get, but the radioactive fallout, I guess we're insinuating mm-hmm. that like some giant octopus is also attacking. So this is called Bikini Atoll.
Revomatix playing their song Bikini Atoll. So what is your songwriting process like?
It's really interesting because Drew started writing these songs before he was playing in the surf
yeah.
genre, you know? So it's kind of cool how it all came together because mm-hmm. the album itself is kind of dripping wet with a surfy sound, but the seeds of the music kind of came from somewhere else, you know?
It's interesting how that worked out because, you know, Pete is the member of the band who keeps us grounded in surf music. Because of that, a lot of this material, when I wrote a lot of this stuff, the mantra kind of going through my head the whole time was, we're going to write this music that, and play this music that any surf fan will recognize as surf music. But we're going to ditch the gimmicky stuff. We're not going to fall back on like the sort of predictable cultural elements of surf music from the 50s and 60s. We're going to contemporize it. We're going to make it dramatic. We're going to make it big. And, you know, that's when these guys all came in and did their thing. You know, like, you know, we do have vocal arrangements on this record.
Okay.
So when I say like we've abandoned some of the sort of tried and true staples of surf music, you know, get ready because there's...
Yeah, and that's, you know, we really have to kind of give a shout out to Shane Hostetler at Howl Street Recordings, who produced the album with us. You know, the day we went in to start tracking drums, we kind of sat down with Shane in a control room, and we're like, okay, Shane, we want this album to sound like a surf record, but we want, you know, these elements of music that a lot of people wouldn't associate with our genre. And, you know, Shane was such a great resource for us in kind of helping us see that vision all the way to the end and bring all these kind of weird elements in.
This album was a big creative jump for me, especially because if you listen to our prior studio album a couple years ago, it was called Rev It Up, more traditional in style, a little bit heavier on the covers. And I'm from an old school type background with that music. You know, I've always liked more of that classic sound. So when these guys came on board and we started to kind of just push things a little further, and the interesting thing is, I've had fans come up to us after shows and they say, wow, the band has really evolved. You guys have really, pushed the threshold with your music. And that's very much true.
There's a joke in the band that, as we were going through this process, we would kind of repeat this mantra that if it makes Pete a little uncomfortable, we must be doing something wrong.
Which I really like that aspect of our band, and I hope people can hear that on the record, that they can hear that tension between us creatively, because I think that, like I said earlier, those people who are really familiar with the genre will hear surf music. Those people who aren't will hear a number of other things, but throughout the entire record, there's this tension between, the past and the present, and then this whole contemporary sort of forward, progressive almost sound of the record. I hope people can hear that.
I'm sure they will, and we can give the listeners one more preview with a song to play us out, and I'd like to thank you all for coming in today.
Thanks so much
for having us.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. This song's called, this is the title track off the record. This is called We Come in Peace.
The Milwaukee band The Rev-O-Matic's new album is called We Come in Peace. This is the title track. They'll play a CD release show this Friday night at Lucky Joe's Tiki Room on South 2nd Street. They spoke with Audrey Nowakowski, and our interview was engineered by John Strelecki. There's a link to the band's website, including some cool flying saucers, at WUWM.com. And I don't know about you, but I love it when I see cool flying saucers.
Flying saucers are cool whenever you see them.
And that is Wednesday's edition of the show. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Tomorrow on the show, how a diabetes drug has found its way into the Great Lakes and the surprising impact that's had on fish. Plus, why one Milwaukee man is speaking out against Fast Track Authority for the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. Lake Effect airs every weekday morning at 10 right here on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, your NPR station in Milwaukee.
Keep listening. We're just about an hour away from all the latest news from WBUR in Boston and NPR on Here and Now. But right now, it's 11 o'clock, and Fresh Air is next.